guess what we did?
We wrote a book.
It's true. You can have us in your homes. You can have us in your beds. You can have us in your bathroom, in your tub, wherever you want us to go.
We will go. Friends, if you go to thecreateseries.com, that's www.thecreateseries.com, you can find there three opportunities to hang out with us. Opportunity number one is the bundle pack, where you can have the Pathway to Your Dreams course, which is an online video series that Kristen and I did, and the book. You can have that whole bundle of joy and love for your holiday season. The second thing you can do is buy just the video course for its own price, or you can buy just the book for $20 on our website. So we would love for you to check that out. If you have an idea that you want to bring into manifestation, if you want some artistic support, if you want us to giggle with you and be your best girlfriends while you create the life of your dreams, come and check it out.
And this book is really this combination of the fundamentals of what you and I teach, as well as our own experience on the creative path and what it takes to show up for your dharma, your dream, your purpose, and to pull it up your energetic anatomy. I always think it's like we're giving birth to this vision that is within us. And in this book, we downloaded our process of how we bring things into fruition. People are always telling me things like, you're so prolific, you do so many things, how do you do it? And I'm like, this is how.
You do the tools. There's steps, there's a process, and you show up and you commit to it and you have fun doing it.
And fun is like the name of the game, and that's why, you know, that's why our podcast is called Let's Play. That's why our book is all, it's, we call it a playbook instead of a workbook. It's that we bring the energy of fun, of it being a game, of it being joyful, and that is part of how we help birth these babies into the world.
Now, even if you don't have an idea you want to manifest, if you don't have a screenplay you want to write, or if you don't have a song you want to write, or one of these things, you can manifest a better relationship. You can manifest healthy communication. You can manifest showing up into a different relationship with life. All of these things are possible as ideas that just need the fertile soil to build and grow upon. And we, through the course of writing this book, have really developed these tools that are really rad and make the process really joyful.
All right. So what are you waiting for?
$20. Go check it out.
Oh my gosh.
It's Create Podcast time with Kristen and Natalie. The best time of day.
Doesn't that feel good? Oh, I'm feeling a little sexy.
We're feeling all the feelings. Friends, welcome to the Create Podcast. If you're new to Create, Create is an acronym that stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression. And we believe that everyone is an artist. We believe that there is art and creativity in every single thing you do, every choice of the day. There is beautiful design and opportunity and magic, and you have the capacity to be open to it. And so we're happy that you are part of this conversation today, so maybe we can all open a little bit more.
I was laughing inside when you were doing that, because I was like, what if we're like, there is art and creativity in everything? Well, most everything. But the other stuff. That's where it is. Hi.
Fun. Hi, Kay. How's it going?
Oh, I mean, you know how we joke about when we pick a podcast topic? And last week, okay, I'm leaving Natalie's, and she goes, we were talking about doing pronoia for a long time, which is the idea that the universe is conspiring in your favor. Or Natalie says to me, do we do everything as your teacher? And when you said that to me, I immediately got a sinking feeling in my stomach. And I was like, I don't know if I want that this week.
I remember that on your face.
I don't think I want to sign up for that.
No.
And I was like, I guess we signed up for that one without realizing.
Yeah. So over the week, it got revealed to us that this was exactly the podcast that we would do this week. Everyone, everything, all of life is your teacher.
I don't want to get schooled anymore.
No, cancel.
Isn't that an interesting thing, right? I have actually heard from different spiritual teachers that they say that coming to this incarnation, coming to this earth, this is like the school of the universe. Like, there's... You can imagine in other frequencies or dimensions, there's other things you get to experience, like play and pleasure and, I don't know, whatever. And we've all decided to come to school for this long, and probably we've decided to come many a time. And I know it sounds like a drag, but the soul's evolution only happens this way. So I think we're smart cookies, and I think we're stronger than we think we are. And let's just open to the conversation that all of life, even the hard and tricky and bitchy parts, can in fact be our best teachers.
Which changes our relationship to them. So if we see them as something that our soul actually called forward because we wanted it, it changes the way we interact with life. So I have a little bit of a text exchange between me and my best friend, Natalie.
You are going into the inner world.
Here is the inner world. That I was on the subway. This was from 9:59 on Tuesday morning. And... I texted you this morning. I was writing in my journal. Hold on.
Stand by.
Kristen always loves to accidentally leave her mail on while we start rolling our podcast. Okay, here we go. Inner workings. I text Natalie. Here, you want to read what you say and I'll read what I say?
This is a dramatic
reading.
This is a dramatic retelling.
This morning I was writing in my journal, what a wonderful opportunity to give up aversions. Remember when we worked on attachments? Well, now it feels like I'm getting a big lesson in aversions. Like, can I not push away experiences that I want to label as bad?
Oh, wow. Isn't that interesting how we actually want to push away so many experiences instead of ask the question, how are they my teacher? Oh, it's such a hard one.
I think of Ram Dass and how he used to say, ah, so, to everything.
Yes!
It's so true. And, like, embrace it. Like, this is for me.
It is so interesting how I can find an aversion to almost anything. Ha ha. It is always about how something should be instead of actually how it is.
Yes, that's it. Okay.
Everything is our teacher. Ha ha ha.
And because the universe is always loving, it has come to teach us about love. Whatever is going on has come to reveal more love to us.
Sigh. Yes.
So, how have you come to reveal more love to me?
And how can I notice my resistance to love as my point of healing and becoming more love?
Yes. You know, just some Tuesday morning texting back and forth between me and my best friend. So what had happened that Monday night is I had had my first tech run through of Clueless, and everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. Like, it to such a huge degree that it was not possible for me to figure out in my mind how to fix it. There was no solution.
Yeah.
It was just a big, hot mess. And I went home and I prayed. I think I wrote a poem, and I think I have it here in front of me.
Oh, please.
I mean, it's not even a full poem. It's just like me crying on the page to God.
And Kristen Musings.
This is how I direct. Hold on. This is... What did I write the other night? I feel like I'm so adorable sometimes when I'm in pain. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Say something brilliant while I look for it.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Well, I do remember at some point during this conversation sending you a text when you told me about how difficult the run was. And there was this great Eckhart Tolle quote that said something along the lines of, stress is only when we want the moment to be any different than it is.
Yes.
And it's interesting when we think about attachments and aversions, when we think about suffering, ultimately, it's always when we're arguing with reality, when we think that reality is against us, when we think we have to control it, when we think we have to fix it, when we think a person is wrong and we have something to do about that. it's always, rather than embracing and accepting and being curious about what's being revealed to us, there's this mechanism inside of us that wants to make it different somehow. I think it's almost like we like to muscle our way through life almost so that we can say, oh yeah, we did something here, but we're here to have something be done to us. We're here to experience this whole thing and be transformed through the experience. We're not the ones that are here to go around and start fixing things or moving the furniture around.
Well, we don't trust that a process is unfolding always, and that process is for us, right? That's why we try to get into like that doer energy or that fix-it energy, as opposed to I'm just holding space for a solution the universe already has.
Mm.
Okay, guys, straight from Kristen's computer, this is me talking to the divine on Monday night. Thank you that I have no idea what I'm doing. I need help that isn't on this plane. I really need something bigger than me to intercede. Teach me. Forces from above that encircle us and hold us. What do you want me to see right now? I know that you are here and that my job is to let go and allow you to do your magic. Help. Help. Come down. I will just hold space for you because I have nothing else. There is nothing more for me than to create a space where you can enter.
Wow, that's what you write when you're triggered?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, mine sounds like a lot of things we would have to bleep out of this podcast. You mother how dare this happen to me? I don't deserve this. That's the cute story I like to tell when I'm triggered. It is this amazing thing when life gives us the curriculum, the schooling, the evolutionary opportunity that brings us to our knees when we know I can't do it. I don't have the skill. I don't have the capacity. This is bigger than me. I can't do it. That is actually when we release our attachments and our aversions, which is why people often will say, why does it take getting to rock bottom to have real change or transformation really begin? Uh-huh. Because most of us don't give up our attachments or our aversions until we hit rock bottom.
That's right.
But there could be another way. There could be a way where we just say, oh, this is for me. Let me drop it. Let me choose to drop it when it's a splinter in my side, so I don't have to get the wrecking ball in my head.
Well, you know, maybe it was like 2 years ago or so. It felt like you and I were studying attachments, and I was really interested in what are all the things I want to cling to, because that's where I think my good is coming from.
Yeah.
So whether it's a relationship or a job or some sort of promotion or anything that I want to cling to, because I think that's where my good is, where I can be present in the here and now, enjoying the good that is, because I want something that's over there.
Right.
I felt like I was getting this education in, it's all right here, right now. The good is here. Let go. Let go of the things you think you need. The good is happening right now. The magic's here, here, here. And then for me, it's like aversion training is what are the things you want to push away because you think they are bad or unpleasant or you have judgments about them.
Right.
Right? So what are the things you want to hold away, push to arm's distance, and say, no, I don't want that, as opposed to, oh, it's here. It must be exactly what I need.
Yeah.
It must be everything that I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's often, you know, to live life on this planet, you end up having something the yogis call samskaras. We've talked about these before. Basically, the scars, the wounds that we pick up, and some of them are energetic, and some of them are physical, and some of them are emotional, and we carry them. And sometimes they become our badges of honor. Sometimes they become our proudest stories. Sometimes they become the things we're ashamed of and we want to hide. It doesn't really matter what our relationship is with them. It is knowing that it is impossible to be in a human body and not have them.
Yes.
And not collect them.
Yeah.
But these samskaras build and create resistance, because a samskara, something that has happened to us, will create the story of let's make sure that never happens again. And so our world will just get smaller and smaller and smaller to protect ourselves from the potential of something happening that we don't want to happen. in the same way, our aversions are always telling us what to stay away from because it might hurt us, it might impact us in a way we don't want, and all of this is coming from a samskara. It's all coming from the place of, you know, that person has hurt me, so therefore in the future I will take different actions, I will be a different person, I'll never open my heart that much again, yeah. Et cetera, but we don't realize that what we end up doing is letting the samskara dictate our whole reality instead of letting the part of us that is whole and healthy and open and the part that completely survived that thing and was the champion that deserves to be celebrated for having come through that thing, that part of us is nowhere to be found unless we're in presence, unless we're in celebration, unless we're in the present moment. So the aversion and attachment are always about the past and the future, what we're scared might happen or what has already happened that we also want to avoid. So it keeps us out of our actual point of power. And anytime we actually don't have power, what we will do is try to control. Mm-hmm. And anytime we know the power of the present moment, we drop our need to control anything and we just surrender or accept the moment exactly as it is.
Right, trusting that what we need is actually here right now. There's this Michael Singer quote that's so good. He says, "You have to understand that it is your attempt to get special experiences from life that makes you miss the actual experience of life." That in this moment is the juicy, the wonderful, the beloved, the magic freshness that becomes the portal to tapping our vital spiritual energy.
And don't we know this? I always think of my mom, who loves to have experiences that she knows she's going to love and she's experienced before, right? So if my mom's been on a certain kind of trip and she knows this one restaurant was amazing and she loved it, or this one place she stayed was amazing and she loved it, it's like she can't wait to go back to that exact same place. And yet, wasn't the reason that place felt so good was the spontaneity of the moment of discovering it anew. And so trying to recreate it at best is going to feel like, oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm. That feels good. And that feels like I thought it might.
Yeah.
But you lose the opportunity of the new and fresh moment that's always trying to get created. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, these things feel comfortable and these things feel good and I like having some time with those things, those repeated experiences.
Uh-huh.
But if you're always trying to recreate your first date, then you miss the gift of the second and third and fourth and fifth and 200th date and the magic that they want to reveal and how that person can continue revealing themselves to you if you keep seeing them with fresh eyes and not assuming you already know who they are.
Right. It's our assumptions that keep us from seeing the world fresh. Right.
And so it almost feels like life becomes your teacher to constantly say, where did you go? Where did you go? What are you assuming? What do you think you know? Right? And so life is showing up to always say, it's just a call to get back to this present moment so that you feel new and alive and sensuous and in love and in exhilaration with this gift called your next breath.
Right. I'm having a conversation with you right now, you know, is like what I feel like life is saying. Hey, hey, right here and right now, there's something. Let me talk to you. Let me show you. And it makes me think of dropping the mind. So in what I have found in my meditation practice, when I get still enough and the thoughts eventually drop, it's like my forehead fills up with this beautiful white light. Mm. And I sometimes like to think of it as like a filling station. It's almost like I can feel this energy that starts to go through my entire body and like fill me up.
Mm.
And in that moment when I'm filled up, I feel like that nothing is missing in my life, that I am totally content. And often I get that inspired thought or idea. I know you and I both have sometimes like meditated with a journal next to us because there'll be like a hit, or like being in like yoga class. And I've many times walked out of yoga with you and you're like, okay, here are the downloads,
right?
Of like, when we can get still enough to drop our mind, there's a new wisdom, a fresh voice that is being broadcast from the infinite. And I feel like what we want to learn how to do is drop our preconceptions and our mind stories and our need to solve so that we can hear this moment broadcasting something that has never happened before.
Completely.
Right? I always feel like life is like, will you get quiet enough so you can hear what I'm saying to you now? Like, let go, let go. There is something new I want to reveal. And if you can get quiet enough, you will be led. So there's a way that life wants to lead us in the present moment, but we have to release our mind in order to hear that impulse, that feel that charm, see the way that we are being pulled. And that's what happens in those spontaneous moments that become so exciting. We follow some sort of instinct or pull, and it leads us to a freshness.
Yes. And often I think being in the present moment is this constant present awareness of the fact that all of life is a teacher. Mm-hmm. So many of us think, well, if I got the lesson from this one place, it will keep coming in that one place. I often will look around New York City and see so many people in their phones, right? And there's just heads down. And I was actually even talking to a chiropractor at one point who said, you know, 20 or 30 years from now, there's going to be a brand new kind of injury that we've never dealt with before because people have their heads down so much of the time that it's going to create a certain kind of strain on the neck that's going to change the way the skeleton works. And it's so interesting, just this new technology, but we don't realize how much of our time we spend with our head down in our phone. That's one teacher. That phone can be a teacher. A text message can come in or an email can come in that can be your greatest teacher, right? But life all around you is also your teacher. And so part of being present is saying, it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Let me keep my eyes open. Let me not be so inundated in the usual that I miss the magical and unusual.
Well, so this brings me to Tuesday morning, where I get off the subway after texting with you, and my phone rings, and it's Mr. Rob Bell, just randomly calling. I don't even tell him what's going on, and somehow he says to me on the phone, I mean, this is life giving you exactly what you need in the moment that you need it, talking about not giving away your power to anything that would take your joy from you. So the moment that you give your joy away to any person, place, or thing, you have given it your power.
Right.
Right? And so I immediately applied it to, like, my work situation is, am I going to let the fact that, like, last night was a little bit of a disaster steal my joy?
Mm.
Or, like, then I give it power, as opposed to know that joy is within me all the time, and it's here now, regardless of circumstance. So I can have my joy and still not know what's going to happen. And it was almost like, after I hung up and I was walking down the street, I felt this presence within me saying, you don't have to solve it, but I'll solve it through you. And you'll be impressed by how little you have to do.
Mm.
And so I walked in the theater, and it was almost like my job was just to talk to the person in front of me, let them tell me what their problems were and how they wanted to solve it. And so I went, like, department by department, like, talking to all the people and then, like, delegating. But mostly it was listening to what people were saying they needed. And then I asked them how they would solve it and then said, yes, let's do that.
Mm.
And so it was really fascinating because I wasn't really doing anything except for holding space that the solutions were here with us.
Mm.
We did the show that night, and it was awesome. It was literally like 3,000% better because all the answers were there. And I was thinking that if I had gotten my mind and tried to force a solution, I wouldn't have been open enough to be with the solutions as they were providing themselves in the present moment.
Right. Because your brain, if it was in the attachment or aversion to yesterday's rehearsal,
yeah,
and the story and the drama and samskara and the residue that left on you and everyone else, then your solution would have been coming from that place as opposed to the new present moment place, which is there could be something here that hasn't occurred yet, that's totally fresh, that's totally new, that's not being influenced or impacted by the thing that we don't want.
That's right. That's right.
And it takes a level of surrendering control. It's really interesting that there's this great Michael Singer reading that I was just reading earlier from The Untethered Soul, which is my favorite book ever, ever, ever. And it reminds me about what you were saying that Rob Bell was saying. You know, everyone's always, all the teachers are saying the same thing, which is so cool. I'm just going to read this whole passage. It's really awesome. He says, if you're going to be here, at least be happy and enjoy the experience. You're going to die anyway, and things are going to happen anyway. So why shouldn't you be happy? You gain nothing by being bothered by life's events. It doesn't change the world. You just suffer. And there's always going to be something that can bother you if you let it. The choice is to enjoy life, and that will lead you through your spiritual journey. And in truth, enjoying life itself is a spiritual teacher. Committing yourself to unconditional happiness will teach you every single thing there is to learn about yourself, about others, and about the nature of life. You will learn about your mind and your heart and your will, but you will have to mean it when you say you will be happy for the rest of your life, because every time a part of you begins to get unhappy, you're going to have to work with that. You're going to have to let it go, do affirmations, whatever you need to do to stay open. But if you are committed, nothing can stop you. And no matter what happens, you can choose to enjoy the experience. If they starve you and put you in solitary confinement, just have fun. Be like Gandhi. No matter what happens, just enjoy the life that comes to you. As difficult as that sounds, what is the benefit of not doing it? If you are totally innocent and they lock you up, you might as well have some fun. What good does it do to not have the fun? It doesn't change anything in the end. If you stay happy, you win. Make that your game. Just stay happy no matter what. The key to staying happy is really very simple. You begin by understanding your inner energies. If you look inside, you will see that when you are happy, your heart feels open and the energy rushes up inside of you. And when you aren't happy, your heart feels closed and no energy comes up inside. So to stay happy, just don't close your heart. No matter what happens, even if your wife leaves you or your husband dies, just don't close. There is no rule that says you have to close. Just tell yourself, no matter what happens, you are not going to close. You really do have that choice. When you start to close, just question, are you really willing to give up your happiness? You should examine what it is inside of you that believes there's a greater benefit to closing. Because the slightest thing happens to you and you give away your happiness. You were having a great day and then someone cut you off on your way to work and you got upset and you stayed that way the whole rest of the day. Why? Dare to ask yourself that question. Why? What good came from letting it ruin your day? There was no benefit. If someone cuts you off, let go and stay open. If you really want to, you can. If you really want to, you can.
I wish I had you reading that to me every morning when I first wake up. I want a little, like, Natalie button I push, and then you read that passage to me. I should do
little animated stories. Little animated
Natalie. Like a little bobblehead Natalie reading that to me in the morning, and I'd be like, thank you, Natalie, my teacher.
I just love that idea that many of us look at school, evolution, learning, our teachers as something hard and difficult and striving, and we're going to have to really go through it. And I love Michael Singer saying, actually, the teacher is happiness.
Yeah.
Because all of us give it away. We give it away for suffering like it's free.
Yes.
And then we complain that we don't have more happiness, but happiness is our natural state. It is who we are. It is who we came to be. It is how we came to experience ourselves. So everything that shows up in life is an opportunity for us to claim our happiness or claim our suffering. And then we get mad at the suffering. But the suffering is the very thing that says you have a choice.
Right. So there's a game that we can play with whatever life presents in the moment is, so how do I make this fun?
Mm.
Right? How do I enjoy even this process?
Mm.
How can this, where's the fun to be had here? It reminds me of like Mary Poppins, which have you seen the movie yet, Natalie?
Okay, I have to confess, I have now seen most of Mary Poppins.
Well, did you see the A Spoonful of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down?
I did. And actually, when you were telling me your story about cleaning your room as a child, I did. Remind me a lot of the kids in Mary Poppins whose toys magically got put back into the...
That's probably why I thought... I was telling Natalie earlier this week that when I was a little kid, I have this one time particularly, I went to my room and I was certain that I could get my stuffed animals to clean my room, like all of my toys. So, I mean, I always say, like, this is young Mystic Hangy. I laid on my bed and I closed my eyes and I was, like, willing my... stuffed animals and my toys to clean my room for me. And then my dad came in and got very upset that I was laying on my bed with my eyes closed. He's like, you're not cleaning your room at all. But it must have been like I had Mary Poppins in my psyche and I was like, I can do whatever I want with my mind.
Right. Well, I giggle when you ask me if I finally saw Mary Poppins because I really did watch about 3/4 of it. But then the present moment revealed a sexy tryst that wanted to happen. So I never finished the movie.
Well, that's the best reason to never finish a movie.
But I figured it was the greatest teacher. There's something interesting when we talk about the light being the teacher, the darkness being the teacher. It is an amazing thing that we can learn in all the ways. I do think there's a conditioning that says we must learn from darkness, mm-hmm. and darkness is the greatest teacher, suffering is the mm-hmm. greatest teacher, which is why I'm so interested and curious about how all of life teaches us.
Yeah.
Every person you meet teaches you. Every yeah. person that triggers you
yeah.
is your teacher. Every person who loves you is your teacher. Every person you love, you are their teacher. Every person that you trigger, you are their teacher. And so there can be this constant looking around with gratitude to all of life. Thank you, tree. Thank you, subway driver. Thank you, barista. Thank you, long line. Thank you, short line. Every single thing is in this moment giving me something I need, even if I don't know I need it.
Yeah.
And can I train my perception to be so in awe of life that I really do see all of life as it unfolds as something that is trying to evolve me and take me to the next level because it loves me so much.
You can have this relationship with life where you're like, ooh, I see you, sneaky life. Look at you giving me exactly what I need to evolve my soul.
Well, talk about aversion. I mean, I'll often say, you know, because I have my superpower is my empathy and my sensitivity, and it can also be my Achilles heel because I can like really go over, like I can go there. I can call Kristen crying from my bathtub in like emotional like states of trauma over paint on a wall. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because I'll often say, I'm just so sick of this teacher, right? Like I've been with this one so long, can't I evolve into like a different way of learning? But then it's also the thing of like, we're given the exact right teachers for our exact right stuff.
Right.
And can I even trust that? Even if I'm bored of it, even if this is a lesson I don't want to learn, even if I feel like I've been learning it for 30 years and I am over it.
Yeah.
More here, more here, more here. Thank you. Grateful. Okay, what now? Here yeah. we go. Going deeper, going further.
Yes. And often some of our life curriculum, it swings back around because we've grown to a place that now we can take the lesson deeper.
Mm.
It really means that we came to be a master of that specific thing.
Mm.
There's also this practice that I've been playing with this week. It came to me in the middle of the night. When noticing that what pain comes up or sadness or darkness, a way of embracing it and say, oh, hello, you can sit here with light. hi, Payne, you can sit here right next here next to Joy. Like, so imagining, like, everybody has a seat at the table and all of them can be present. So it's a way of not, like, denying feelings of darkness or sadness or pain.
Or bypassing them.
Allowing them to be fully there. And at this moment, there is also joy.
Right.
At this moment,
sometimes, even if someone we love is in deep suffering, we feel guilty experiencing joy, right?
Right.
We feel like we need to go sit in suffering.
Yeah.
But they can exist at the same time. I'm so enamored that you brought that up, because the one thing I said, well, maybe I'll talk about this that I pulled, is the word guru, which we associate with as being our teacher, is divided into two parts. And Ru, G-U-R-U. And Gu is known as the darkness, and Ru is that which lightens.
Oh.
And so the greatest teacher is when you hold one in each hand.
Yeah.
Right? You have the darkness, and you have that which lightens. Mm-hmm. And the guru is both. It's also just like a cute thing. Like, it's like, I don't want the goo. I just want the Ru. But the real guru inside yourself, you are the thing that is both light and dark, and you have the capacity to go all the way in the depths, and you have the capacity to be light, and that is a gift, and it's choice, and it's a choice to know yourself as that, and it's a choice to know life as that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real point of power.
So I think this week it might be a fun game for all of us to just see what is happening here in this moment and get quiet and ask life, how do you want me to play with this? So that we can see it as fun life plays. We can see it as a game. We can see it a way to interact so that there is a new freshness. There's a revelation that is occurring.
Right. Yeah. And even the beautiful question of, what is this teaching me?
Yeah.
I don't know. This just feels like pain. This just feels annoying. You know, I think about the day when all the buses at Port Authority got canceled and so many thousands of people didn't have a way home for hours and hours. You know, you imagine being in that moment of chaos and pandemonium. And I imagine that Michael Singer, you know, sitting in the middle of it, wondering, okay, well, this is fun, or where can I find fun here? Or how can I play? Or how can I find joy in this? And it's a spiritual practice, right? It's easy when everything is rainbows and butterflies and green lights and parking spots. Can we continue to find it when things feel sticky, when things feel like they want to close? That's the real work. So spirituality isn't about coasting above all of it. It's about really going deep in the dark with all of it and saying, what part of me can bring some light to this? What part of me can learn something from this? What part of me is still teachable? Because it's very important to know that it's like when the student is ready, the master appears.
Yeah.
So if you want a different teacher, you be a different student. You start showing up being teachable, saying, I don't know, I'm curious, I'm here to learn, I'm here to surrender my own will, my own opinions, my own experiences thus far, because most of them are attachments and aversions. Let me show up new to this present moment. Let me show up more interested in what I don't know yet, so I can be a sponge for this new teaching, so I can evolve to the next and the next and the next.
You know, it's so funny. Today, I wandered into there's a new bookstore on Broadway. Have you seen this?
I've heard Shakespeare of this beautiful bookstore, and I cannot wait.
It's stunning.
Stunning. It smells like real books, right?
Yeah. It's really amazing. And I'm just kind of like wandering through, and my hand, even though I have the book at home, my hand kind of just fell onto the Pema Chodron book, When Things Fall Apart.
Yeah.
And like, I did that trick you do with the book where you just kind of like open it up and see what passage you turn to. So this is what I turn to. To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. To live fully is to be always in no man's land. To experience each moment as completely new and fresh. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. From the awakened point of view, that's life. Death is wanting to hold on to what you have and to have every experience confirm and congratulate you and make you feel completely together. So even though we say the Yamamara is fear of death, it's actually fear of life.
Beautiful.
Isn't that great?
That's great.
To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. So not to be afraid when we're thrown out of the nest, but to welcome it and say, oh yeah, this is living. Now I don't know what's next.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've just jumped out of the airplane.
Well, it's almost like so many of us have this deep feeling of pain in our bodies and a story of suffering that we always feel like we have to do everything. We have to be everything. We have to do all the carpools and we have to answer all the emails and we have to be the doer and we have to keep life afloat and everything is on our shoulders. There's something about arriving in that place that she's describing that allows a teacher to show up and take your hand and say, I know a way.
Yeah.
And I know a way that you haven't been able to imagine yet.
Well, and that was the exciting thing about showing up that morning at the theater. It was like Spirit was saying to me, oh, baby, if you just be open, I'll do the things through you. You don't have to know about anything. And you'll always get it exactly in the moment you need it.
Yes.
And so if you haven't gotten it yet, it means that you don't need it yet.
You don't need it yet.
So just keep being fresh. Just keep being open. Allow yourself to have your joy. And I'll do the work.
Yeah. So we encourage you this week, as you see everything as your teacher, it may be triggering. We will warn you. You may have those moments where you're coming to our Facebook page and saying, next week, do a podcast on why I have so much money. I don't know what to do with it. I don't like this topic anymore about everything as your teacher. Know that what it is actually here to teach you is how powerful you are, and that your point of power is that you can choose joy and happiness no matter what life's circumstances are presenting as. And once you know this superpower and you know that you have it, you become unstoppable and life becomes expansive and anything you want becomes possible. And that feels like a game that we want to play. And it feels like the reason we're here. So why not give it a try?
All right, Natalie, let's play.
Let's play.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?